Welcome to the Ideal Network Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Ideal Network Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. The short version of the word ideal in Ideal Network stands for I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. And there's much more. Thanks for listening in, and share this with the people that are most important to you. Now on to our show with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. This is the Ideal Network Radio Show. We do this with Darlene Sartori every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. on the Central side. And it's been a really great show because Darlene covers a whole bunch of material, and she's going to cover some stuff today that's pretty deep usually, and she's going to play some recordings, so you might want to grab a pen to be able to take some notes because she'll reference maybe some websites or some resources that you'll want to be able to take advantage of. And one of the things I really enjoy about Darlene is she helps to keep people grounded on a solid foundation relative to the way to live an ideal life. So she runs the Ideal Network. She's got a whole bunch of different websites, idealnetwork.biz. We're putting something together, idealresources.network and idealnetwork.info. Those are ones that I just kind of slung together for you. I'll make sure they're in the notes for this radio show as well. But Darlene organizing, if you will, the foundation for a lot of people to live that ideal life. So the stuff that she covers is the type of thing you probably want to listen to again and again and probably even again. And even if you think you've heard it before, when you come back to it, you'll probably pick up something new because you'll be a little bit different as a result of your experiences. So I'm kind of excited about this one because I always start the radio show thinking in one general direction, and by time I'm finished, she's kind of opened up my mind towards exploring maybe some different areas of things that I may not have even known about. So you got to check her out. If you want to hear this again, go back to buildingfortunesradio.com/ideal. And if you go to some of the other websites that I mentioned, you'll see that we pull her radio shows into those websites. So it'll be easy for you to find. So idealresources.network, idealnetwork.info are two of them for you to have as far as a website. So, Darlene, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Well, thank you, Peter, for pulling all this together and doing the technical side of it. That really takes a big chunk of the energy off of me having to learn it. And so that's kind of what we're doing, is building a team of people to work together so we can figure out who's doing what where and what do we have the skills to help each other with. And so we're not replicating, but we make sure that everything that needs to be done gets done. So I'm going to pick up today's session kind of where I left off last week. In talking about the eclipse, I will report that I did make a trip to Bald Knob Hill across, that's up in the mountains in near Alta Pass, Illinois, and I think I did refer to it being in Indiana a couple times in that recording, so pardon that, but it is in Illinois. And so it is an awesome experience to be up on that hill, that mountain, and to see that 111-foot cross. It is going to be a really great experience to be there during the eclipse. So I did go ahead and make reservations to be there during the eclipse on April the 8th of 2024. So you know that I started this last week talking a little bit about this discovery of this project that was started back in the, I think, 1936 era to build this huge cross. And I used that as an example in talking with people about having long-term goals, to have a vision and to stick with it while you are pulling together the team of people that can believe in it. So these are things that I've been doing for many, many years on many of the visions that I've had since a child, to be able to develop. And sometimes you get discouraged, but then something comes along that gives you another, sip of coffee, get you going again. And so that's kind of where I've been with what's going on with these eclipses and things. So last, if you haven't listened to last week's session, you need to listen to that to get up to speed. I had originally planned to go to Bloomington, Indiana, because William Shatner is Shatner. Sorry about that. I'm having some real congestion today, so if I don't enunciate some of these words, you'll have to forgive me. One of the books that has been written about the ethics of Star Trek is something that I refer to often when I'm talking with individuals who are talking about the ethics of living, and how he played that star character in the Star Trek series. And so I had a plan to go on the eclipse where he was going to be in Bloomington, because he's going to be introducing the eclipse part there. And so I made a executive decision, so to speak, that it was more important for me to be at Bald Knob Cross for some reason more than being in Bloomington. Now, I don't know whether that was a good choice or not until after the event's over, and we shall see. But I am very done a crash course since I discovered a few things that I thought maybe I would like to try to pull together again, like I did last week, with just some resources for you to follow up through. Now, last week, I think I mentioned Urantia paper 118, and I referred to control and over control of time and space. That paper is about the ultimate time and space. And we, of course, on our planet live in a time and space continuum, if you want to call it that. And so if you've not read that or listened to that section, I suggest that you do, because in there it talks about Lucifer and Caligastia and Satan and the dynamics that we are still having to deal with on our planet from eons ago when this rebellion happened. That really did throw off a lot of the things that would have happened already on our planet had there not been this rebellion. So if anything comes of this eclipse and the aftermath, I do hope that it is this finally getting this over with. This length of mercy, and, you and I probably have a real time grasping how it can take hundreds of thousands of years to get to this point. But when you're thinking about how big and large our universes are, you begin to comprehend a little bit more about it. And so as we now are going into outer space, and actually they're advertising for more astronauts to enroll to get into school and learning how to be an astronaut and et cetera. So many of the things that are going on in today's world, 100 years ago, we had absolutely no clue about any of these things. So then you say, okay, what about 2,000 years ago when Jesus was on the planet? What was it like then? And so I'm going to flash you forward and then back. So if you take a look at what we're dealing with the eclipses now, we are going to be dealing with the eclipse on April the 8th of 2024. Okay, so now if you go to the Urantia paper, 134, we're going to be talking about the transition years of Jesus when he was age 30 on this planet. And it talks about, in the section that I'm going to play for you, mentions April AD 24 to April AD 25. Now, flash forward 2,000 years, and we're almost to April of 2024, and AD 2025, of course, will be a year later. So what's going to happen during these transition years? Because this paper, 134, talks about the transition years. And so what I'm seeing that we're going to happen over the next year, we are going to see some huge transitionings happening. Because remember, we have a major election happening the latter part of the year. And today I heard about Agenda 47 that Trump mentioned. Okay, so I'm thinking when I listen to that and his talk about these freedom cities and et cetera that he's proposing that need to be built and the veterans and et cetera, I'm saying, yay, that's right on target of what I've been talking about for many, many eons too. So when you see things happening that you've thought about yourself years ago and you wondered, you know, well, why hasn't somebody else thought about that already? And so this is what I'm going to be showing with you today, is because I'm going to be talking about something that I've mentioned a couple times in passing, is what it's called the Urama lectures that Jesus did during this 24 AD and 25 AD I'm going to be talking about. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the clips first. I'm going to play paper 134, section 2, that talks about that year. And then I'm going to be, I'll let it stop, and then I'll start it back up to play section 3. Because I think this is very, it's very enlightening as to what we've been working with for many years and putting together these lecture amphitheaters that they talk about way back when. So I'm going to go to the computer, and I'm going to, these are very short clips, so they won't take very long. So this is the first one. This is paper 134, section 2. All right. Why is it not wanting to play?
Two.
There we go.
Caravan trip to the Caspian. It was the 1st of April, AD 24, when Jesus left Nazareth on the caravan trip to the Caspian Sea region. The caravan, which Jesus joined as its conductor, was going from Jerusalem by way of Damascus and Lake Ermia through Assyria, Media, and Parthia to the southeastern Caspian Sea region. It was a full year before he returned from this journey. For Jesus, this caravan trip was another adventure of exploration and personal ministry. He had an interesting experience with his caravan family, passengers, guards, and camel drivers, scores of men, women, and children residing along the route followed by the caravan lived richer lives as a result of their contact with Jesus. To them, the extraordinary conductor of a commonplace caravan. Not all who enjoyed these occasions of his personal ministry profited thereby, but the vast majority of those who met and talked with him were made better for the remainder of their natural lives. Of all his world travels, this Caspian Sea trip carried Jesus nearest to the Orient and enabled him to gain a better understanding of the far eastern peoples. He made intimate and personal contact with every one of the surviving races of Urantia excepting the Red. He equally enjoyed his personal ministry to each of these varied races and blended peoples, and all of them were receptive to the living truth which he brought them. The Europeans from the far west, the Asiatics from the far east alike, gave attention to his words of hope and eternal life, and were equally influenced by the life of loving service and spiritual ministry which he so graciously lived among them. The caravan trip was successful in every way. This was the most interesting episode in the human life of Jesus, for he functioned during this year in an executive capacity, being responsible for the material entrusted to his charge and for the safe conduct of the travelers making up the caravan party. And he most faithfully, efficiently, and wisely discharged his multiple duties. On the return from the Caspian region, Jesus gave up the direction of the caravan at Lake Ermia, where he tarried for slightly over 2 weeks. He returned as a passenger with a later caravan to Damascus. But the owners of the camels besought him to remain in their service. Declining this offer, he journeyed on with the caravan train to Capernaum, arriving the 1st of April, A.D. 25. No longer did he regard Nazareth as his home. Capernaum had become the home of Jesus, James, Mary, and Ruth. But Jesus never again lived with his family. But in Capernaum, he made his home with the Zebedees.
This reading from the Urantia Book is presented by TruthBook.com, audio version courtesy of Urantia Foundation.
Now, I'm going to be posting this. You can find these on TruthBook.com and then /Urantia.book and then /paper-134-the-transition-years. So you can always give me a contact if you have any challenges following through on that. And now I'm going to play for you a short clip about the lectures, and then we will we'll wrap it up from there. So let's see if I can get this to come on and play. And this is actually section 3 following the last one we just played.
3, the Ermia Lectures. On the way to the Caspian Sea, Jesus had stopped several days for rest and recuperation at the old Persian city of Ermia on the western shores of Lake Ermia. On the largest of a group of islands situated a short distance offshore near Ermia was located a large building, a lecture amphitheater, dedicated to the spirit of religion. The structure was really a temple of the philosophy of religions. The temple of religion had been built by a wealthy merchant citizen of Ermia and his 3 sons. This man was Symbolton, and he numbered among his ancestors many diverse peoples. The lectures and discussions in this school of religion began at 10 o'clock every morning in the week. The afternoon session started at 3 o'clock, and the evening debates opened at 8 o'clock. Symbolton, or one of his 3 sons, always presided at these sessions of teaching, discussion, and debate. The founder of this unique school of religions lived and died without ever revealing his personal religious beliefs. On several occasions, Jesus participated in these discussions. Before he left Ermia, Symbolton arranged with Jesus to sojourn with him for 2 weeks on his return trip and give 24 lectures on the brotherhood of men, and to conduct 12 evening sessions of questions, discussions, and debates on his lectures in particular, and on the brotherhood of men in general. In accordance with this arrangement, Jesus stopped off on the return trip and delivered these lectures. This was the most systematic and formal of all the master's teaching on Urantia. Never before or after did he say so much on one subject as was contained in these lectures and discussions on the brotherhood of men. In reality, these lectures were on the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of men. More than 30 religions and religious cults were represented on the faculty of this temple of religious philosophy. These teachers were chosen, supported, and fully accredited by their respective religious groups. At this time, there were about 75 teachers on the faculty, and they lived in cottages, each accommodating about a dozen persons. Every new moon, these groups were changed by the casting of lots. Intolerance, a contentious spirit, or any other disposition to interfere with the smooth running of the community would bring about the prompt and summary dismissal of the offending teacher. He would be unceremoniously dismissed, and his alternate in waiting would be immediately installed in his place. These teachers of the various religions made a great effort to show how similar their religions were in regard to the fundamental things of this life and the next. There was but one doctrine which had to be accepted in order to gain a seat on this faculty. Every teacher must represent a religion which recognized God, some sort of supreme deity. There were five independent teachers on the faculty who did not represent any organized religion, and it was as such an independent teacher that Jesus appeared before them. When we, the Midwayers, first prepared the summary of Jesus' teachings at Ermia, there arose a disagreement between the seraphim of the churches and the seraphim of progress as to the wisdom of including these teachings in the Urantia Revelation. Conditions of the 20th century prevailing in both religion and human governments are so different from those prevailing in Jesus' day that it was indeed difficult to adapt the Master's teachings at Ermia to the problems of the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of men as these world functions are existent in the 20th century. We were never able to formulate a statement of the Master's teachings which was acceptable to both groups of these seraphim of planetary government. Finally, the Melchizedek chairman of the Revelatory Commission appointed a commission of three of our number to prepare our view of the Master's Ermia teachings as adapted to 20th century religious and political conditions on Urantia. Accordingly, we three secondary midwayers completed such an adaptation of Jesus' teachings, restating his pronouncements as we would apply them to present-day world conditions. And we now present these statements as they stand after having been edited by the Melchizedek chairman of the Revelatory Commission.
This reading from the Urantia Book is presented by TruthBook.com, audio version courtesy of Urantia Foundation.
So those are the two that will sections that set up a comprehension of where we are working with in the chaplain's course. So when I introduce people to the chaplain's course and what our purposes is, these are the first areas that I take an individual to. And as it says in the second, the ending of that first one, we have to adapt and upgrade and upscale to the current revelation of today's work, what we are doing to keep everything current with our current evolutional statement. What progress are we in, or have we had setbacks or whatever we're dealing with? And so we have to be what I call very reality-based as we work with any form of education, but yet at the same time be aware of the history that got us to this point in our history. Because if we've done things that have been extremely successful, then of course we want to keep continuing with the things that are most life-empowering. But if they're not producing desirable results, we would like to see what is not working, and then we can create a better system to eliminate, hopefully, the errors that we have made that made things undesirable. And so the art of living, of course, is what we call our academy and our project, is because that is exactly what we are doing, is learning the art of eternal life. And for those who know what I'm talking about, when I say that, you begin to comprehend that time has little to do with other universes as it does in our universe. And so this is interesting as we think about seasons on our planet, and spring is now sprung, and so now we are getting to an era where people in our neck of the woods in southern Indiana and other areas around us will begin disking and plowing our fields. For those who plant in that way, for those who have permaculture, they'll be pruning and doing the things that need to be done in order for us to be able to create a system that produces enough food and all of the other needs that we have on this planet for our lifestyle to move on with grace, elegance, and ease. So as we begin to look at the over controllers and the controls that we talked about last week, it's wonderful to know that we have people and entities and dynamics that help us to be able to do things with grace, elegance, and ease. And for lots of us that are now working with the internet and building websites and ways that we can store information, it makes it much easier for us to be able to share the wisdom of the past and the experiences that we can develop, like Star Trek did in the series that gave us a lot of thoughts about things like food replicators and being able to get in an elevator-like a piece of equipment and go from the spaceship, and beam down to the surface of a planet many eons away from our own home planet. I often have this little thing that I say, Scotty, beam me up. There's no intelligent life down here. And that became one of my little sayings that people would know when I'm dealing with people that just don't get it. They're just too dense, or I'm just not making it clear enough. And so that's kind of where I was at. A few weeks ago, as I was making some shifts here on the property where I currently live, is there's no intelligent life here anymore. Please, are we ready to beam up? So I said, oops, when I heard about the eclipse and all the other things that were going on, maybe I spoke too soon on that. So we shall see. So this, sometimes we just have to wait and see. But it is my will that we do everything that can be life-empowering and be in the will of the creators who are much more intelligent than I am in keeping these planets and universes in proper alignment so they're not crashing into each other. And these wonderful people that know how to get to the moon and back or to Mars and back without losing our spaceships. So these are things that are happening in today's world that are very exciting. And as we move closer and closer to being a system that is settled in light and life, I think it's an exciting time to be alive and sharing in this great experience that we're having together in figuring out how to make it easier and easier for the next generations to learn from our lessons and make any corrections that needs to be made that we might have made along the way, and to be able to sustain those wonderful things that we made that make it be eternally life-empowering. So I see we're just about to the end of the half hour, so I'm going to switch it back to Peter and say, okay, you want to sign us out?
Perfect. Okay, good. So great information as usual for those people that are listening in. Darlene played a couple of segments from the Urantia Papers, number 134. I'll make sure that we have links in the show descriptions. If you go back to buildingfortunesradio.com/ideal, you'll be able to see the previous radio show. Click on this one, and I'll make sure Urantia 134 is in the title. You'll be able to hear these different things, and I'll put, like I said, some of the links associated with this, and you can just re-listen to it as well. So, Darlene, as I go through this stuff, you know, a lot of the lessons that are taught are, I don't know, they're timeless lessons that although we might be living in today's times, these things were written many years ago. It's almost as if you could use it as a foundation for moving forward. And it's just really great information. Kind of ground yourself in the craziness that seems to be this world. And then when we have things like the total eclipse on April 8th, there's a kind of renewed enthusiasm towards what it's like to be alive in a physical planet. So it's just kind of very interesting to see how all this stuff goes. So make sure you check her out. Idealnetwork.biz is her regular website. Idealresources.network is going to be the new site that she puts together some of the resources. She'll probably have stuff like the Urantia Papers on. And then The other one is idealnetwork.info, which is a simple page for just some snippets, if you will, and we'll have some links to the radio shows on that as well. So, Darlene, thanks for being here, and we're going to obviously talk to you before the total eclipse, and we'll keep going. So thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Ideal Network Radio Show on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear more segments with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingle. Darlene encourages everyone to join the Ideal Network so you can say, I live the ideal life, where I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Darlene, Peter, and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word. Tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.